All right, guys. Apparently, nobody's getting any sound off of Winamp either. So I could restart it and see if that fixes it. I don't know. I don't even know if you can hear me. So if you can hear me, let's see. If you can't hear me, you'd never know. Let's see. Let's give it a minute here and see if we're getting any sound there. Doc says nothing. So let's okay, let's see what's going on here. We have, let me go check. No, it wouldn't be Voskast. We got that. Minnie's got it. Okay. All right, there's sound. All right, what's happening here is Winamp is not playing the music through, but it's getting my voice through. So for the time being, that's going to have to do. So here we are. Welcome to the Shooting Bench. It is the 16th of March, and it's a Monday. Hope you guys had a great weekend. Now, I'm going to tell you, you guys missed a heck of a holiday on Saturday. Saturday, I mean, and you'll, and the thing is, if you didn't pay attention to it, you will go 100 years before you ever see it again. That was Pi Day. 3/15/14. March. March. What the heck was it? 3/14/15. Whatever it was, anyway. So, hang on. I'm trying to. I got Solar Steve on the other end here on trying to message me. Let me get him off of here. Okay. Matter of fact, I believe Solar Steve is listening. All right, good deal. Okay, I'll get with him again in here in a little bit. All right, here we go. Now, there was a couple of things that I was going to talk about tonight. One of them was the fact that, remember we talked here last week, week ago tonight, I believe it was. We talked about the missing veterans, so many of them. Well, I did get a little more stuff on that. Thank you. You are awesome, Amy. Amy just brought me some groceries. It's very nice. Thank you. And now for a break. No, just kidding. Okay. I wanted to post a couple of links. I told some other people that I was going to talk about that more tonight, but I realized that all the information that I had personally for that has already been shared. So I'm not going to talk about that, but I did find a couple of links that would confirm what we were talking about. And if Firefox wouldn't have just, wow, I tell you what, I'm just about ready to throw up my hand and give up here. We were having so much trouble. All right. While we're trying to get this all squared away, here's one of them. Let's see if I can get the cotton picking thing to work. One of the things that's come up here is the ATF is not happy with their having to banning the M855 ammo. So now they're looking at banning all 5.56 ammo, all 223 ammo. I don't know if they know the difference or if they, you know, what's going to come of this. There's some top-level Democrats that are getting on them and saying, hey, these are all cop killers. These can all defeat Vest. You know why? And I've always wondered about this. This is something that's concerned me every time we get out there as knowledgeable, concerned patriots. We get out there and we say, hey, this is a stupid idea. They're going to ban this kind of ammo, but that's dumb because everything in that caliber will do this, that, or the other. And all we're doing is telling them things that they don't know. And if we'd have all shut up about it, then maybe they wouldn't be trying to ban all of them now. I mean, that's just a guess. I don't know. But, you know, they didn't mention anything about that to begin with. It was just the one type that they were afraid of. Now, you know, and we're all guilty of it. they don't know that. I guess they, assuming that they all listen to the shooting bench, we can tell them that the 30-30 will go through most vests, 308 will go through pretty much all of them until you get up into something that's got plates. The 222 Remington, 222 Magnum, 22 250. Hell, you name it, 270, 30, I'll say it doesn't make any difference. All of them. Even a 22 Magnum will go through a level 3 without plates. So, I mean, geez. It's, hey, Solar Steve did make it in here. Welcome, buddy. Glad to. I tell you what, Solar Steve had sent me a message here a while ago, and it's not anything that's sensitive, I can tell you. And it's something that we've, Doc certainly knows what's going on. And, yeah, if they're worried about 5.56, they ought to have a baby over 30.06. That's a fact. And many, Kit's right. Somebody said today that, they can't do that. They don't have the constitutional authority to do that. Well, yeah, that's true in a way. Yes, they do not have the constitutional authority to do it, but they will do as they damn well please. And they have been, for quite a while. So, it doesn't make any difference what they have the authority to do. It doesn't make any difference whether an executive order is truly law. It doesn't make any difference if, nothing makes any difference. It doesn't matter. What makes a difference is what they want to do. That's all that matters. Anyway, I was going to say what Solar Steve was telling me a while ago is are we aware of the amount of radio traffic and everything that's coming over on the very far western side of the United States around Alaska and between Alaska and Russia and everything over there. And, yeah, I don't say coming from there, but about that part of the country. And I think Doc mentioned something about this a day or two ago about, and I also saw a news article on it today about, Russia could conceivably be coming across the Bering Strait and into Russia. Obviously, if they're going to do anything, that would be the fastest, shortest way for them to do it. And probably the least dangerous, at least to get partway in there. Now, we have before we can get a whole lot of reinforcements over there, of course, we can do it by air and by sea, that providing that Canada will let us fly across their airspace. If not, then we have to go around a little bit, which wouldn't cost a whole lot of time, but... Nevertheless, make a long story short, there's a whole lot of stuff going on right now that looks pretty serious for us. They said that we have M1 tanks and stuff going over to two or three different little countries over there. We've got something like the tune of 3,000 or more troops headed over there, already there. And Putin is not liking all this stuff. And he's taking exception to it. And, it's anybody's guess what could happen here in the next, literally in the next few days. Not even weeks or months. It could happen just any time now. So, we'll see what happens. Let's see if this link is going to work here. The one link I was going to put in here for you that had to do with, has to do with the vets that are being taken away in the middle of the night. Lots and lots of them. There's one of them right there. And I found two or three of them just like that. Let's see. My computer is so slow tonight and everything's just not working. I don't know what is wrong with this thing. It's just happened within the last week or so, and we've just been having all kinds of problems, and I can apologize all over myself for it, but that doesn't change the fact that quality of the show kind of sucks right now. So as long as you can hear me, I guess that's going to be the main thing. So I did tell some people on Facebook that we were going to talk about the SKS a little bit tonight. And I put on there, come join us on the shooting bench. We're going to talk about the lowly SKS. Well, I was hoping we'd get a little bit of reaction over that. We got some. But do I think the SKS is a lowly weapon? No, not at all. It's not as fancy as some of the rest of them. It's not as accurate as some of the rest of them. There's a lot of things it's not as some of the rest of them. But reliability and adequate power for, you know, 90% of what you're ever going to need to do, then, yeah, the SKS just fine. Now, of course, the round that it shoots is the same as the AK-47, so half of what we're talking about will apply to the AK-47 as well. But the SKS was, and I'm not even going to try. I had a bunch of stuff material up for this tonight, and I'm not even going to try to bring it up because I'm afraid it's going to ruin my ruin all my stuff here. So we're just going to have to kind of play it by ear and wing it here a little bit. But the SKS was born back, I believe, 1946, if I'm not mistaken. And it's a semi-automatic rifle, but one of the great things about it is that you can, and yeah, there never was, I don't think, a fully automatic version of the SKS. It's always, as far as I know, it's always been a semi. It was originally born with a 10-round non-detachable magazine, and because of that, people have a little bit of a problem with detachable magazines for it because the bolt has to be open to both insert and take out the non-detachable magazine. That's not an insurmountable problem, guys. You can take your Dremel tool or an angle grinder, you know, bench grinder, if you're very careful. And if you look on the underside of your bolt, you'll see that it's slotted. And when the bolt closes, there's a small part of it that those slots, there's when your feed lips on the magazine go into the slots on that bolt. All you need to do is grind those two slots out. You don't have to take the whole bottom off of it. It's just on each side you take off. It's about an eighth of an inch and about an eighth of an inch deep. And you'll take off, those two slots out of there. And when you can insert that magazine. Once you do that, you can insert that magazine or take it out just like any other gun. It doesn't matter. Otherwise, you have to put you have to have the bolt to the rear. And that's a little bit difficult unless the magazine has run empty. If you've shot it dry, the bolt will lock to the rear. You put your other one in and pull your bolt handle to the rear slightly and let it go, and it feeds and everything's great. But Yakima Glock, that is a big deal. Now, it's and this is a Yakima Glock, brother, I love you. Don't think I'm saying anything bad about what you're saying, but you have the same attitude that a whole bunch of other people do. It's not unusual. And that is to think that you're always going to shoot that thing dry before you change magazines. If you shoot it dry for only one of two reasons. One, because the fighting is so fierce that you can't make a tactical reload, or you are negligent in making your tactical reloads. One or the other. People have this recreational shooting, this competition mentality, and it's very dangerous out there in the real world. You don't ever want to shoot your magazine dry if you don't absolutely have to. And now I'm having trouble. I can't get my chat room to come back up again. This really ticks me off no end. But you never want to shoot that gun dry unless it is too dangerous for you to keep it running with another med. If I shoot 15 rounds and I see 25 guys coming over the mountain over here, I don't want to shoot five and then take the time to do a reload. I want to go ahead and top it off now with a new magazine and put that partially depleted magazine in a drop bag or something, or in my cargo pants, or, you know, pocket in my cargo pocket or whatever, and keep that gun running. So I don't, this is a mindset that is taught through a lot of this competition shooting and stuff. And, if anybody that takes our, class up there in Yakima, when I'm able to get up there in June, then we'll spend quite a bit of time on this. And I think that I can make everybody believe that shooting the gun dry is a dangerous thing to do if you don't have to. Now the stock 10 round magazine, it's flawless. It works good. And as long as you have stripper clips, now the thing is, you can load that thing pretty well, whether you have stripper clips or not. Stripper clips are definitely faster, but at least you're able to load it by hand. You know, if your M1 Grand runs out of end block clips, you're down to a single shot. It's a little tough. If your AR-15 or AK-47, whatever, you run out of magazines, you're down to a single shot, and very, very difficult to load single shot at that. The SKS, as long as you don't have any optics or anything up there in the way, it is both easy to load one at a time by hand and pretty fast, and it's an easy to load single shot if it comes down to that. So if you're out of stripper clips, you're not armed with a club like you are some other guns. It is a very, very good thing. Long slide, what are you talking about? What about changing it over to mags? It already shoots a mag. I'm not sure what you mean. If you're talking about detachable mags, well, that's what we've been talking about. I don't know if you were here when we started talking about that. Doc says that each 10-round mag is individually fitted to the rifle. I won't doubt that it is, but I will say that I have taken probably well over 100 SKSs and put in just any old 10-round magazine we had, and I've changed them back and forth on mine. I've never had a feeding problem with it. But I can see why that may be why some of the duckbill magazines don't work. Now, the duckbill magazine, the Tapco, absolutely 100% flawless 100% of the time. If your Tapco magazine, your 20-round Tapco duckbill type magazine, as they call them, if it doesn't work, let me rephrase that. If there's a malfunction, it's not because of the magazine. I promise you, if it doesn't feed well, if something happens, it's your gun's fault. It's a gas tube problem. It's a gas valve problem, like in the Yugoslavian ones or something like that. It is not that magazine's problem. Fault. They're 100% flawless. But, speaking of that, before I forget about it, the Yugoslavian guns with the grenade launchers on them, when you get those, the chances are about 50-50 that you're going to find one that the gas valve or something else in the system is ruined because of the gas valve, because of the fact that it's a has the grenade launcher. So it may cost you $50 or $60 to take that $200 rifle and get it running properly. But when you do, it'll be the last time you'll ever have to do it. It will last a long time. Now, SKSs are so reliable, and they shoot really well. The typical SKS are a little more accurate than the AK-47, generally. Not too late. SKSs are only prone to slam fire if you don't clean them. They will do it. They sure can. But it's only because you get a bunch of crap in the bolt because there's no spring in there to bring the firing pin back to where it's supposed to be. But if you get a bunch of crap in there, yeah, you can turn a, you can turn an SKS into an uncontrollable fully automatic by just not cleaning it for a while. Yakima Glock, I'm not positive whether the Yugos are chrome lined or not. Not all SKSs are chrome lined by any means. But a good many. I thought the Yugos were simply because of that, but I'm not sure. Edge of the Woods might know. Edge of the Woods I think even has a Yugo out there. Cuz I think he got it from me. I know he got his SKS from me. I just don't know if it's a Yugo or not. I don't remember. Let me try something here real quick, and I'm gonna ask if this is gonna work. For some reason, nothing's working for me tonight. So, well, it looks like it's not gonna work. Okay, well, whatever. Okay, let's start from one end to the other here. The one thing you can do to your SKS, there's a couple of really, really nice stocks that you can put on them. Tapco makes a couple of different ones. Well, Tapco makes one that is awesome. It's a collapsible stock pistol grip. Works pretty good. And it's it seems to be, at least in mine, seem to be a little more accurate. Oh, wait. Mine was not the Tapco stock. If you want to really, really beef up your SKS and make it awesome, don't get the Tapco stock. Get the Dragunov stock made by Choate. It's not collapsible. It's not foldable. But it's a one-piece pistol grip type, not pistol grip, but thumb hole type. Well, you know what a Dragunov stock looks like. Just do a search for Dragunov, and you'll get the same picture on all of them. If you take that stock and get a Choate scope mount that drills into the side of the receiver, you got to drill and tap it into the receiver, not into the dust cover. And work on that trigger a little bit, and I'm going to tell you the trigger is a bear. In order to get that trigger halfway decent, it is not easy. Most gunsmiths won't even touch it because it's a real dog to get halfway decent. But once you do that, you will, dang it, I'm keep getting all these stupid problems here with plugins. Once you do that, you get your trigger down, put a decent stock on it, get some decent ammo for it, and put a decent scope on it. Don't put one of those 1995 Chinese scopes on it. Get something halfway decent. It doesn't have to be great. It's not a target gun. It's never going to be a target gun. But the one I had would very comfortably shoot an inch and a half. It'll shoot under 2 inches with anything I put in it. It would almost keep up with my 527. And it had a, let's see, what kind of scope? I had a little Weaver scope on it. Thing you need to be aware of, if you're not using the a compact, a very short scope on there, you will find that your brass is going to ding up the bottom of your scope pretty bad. But a way to get around that is to If you look up towards the front of the gas system, you'll see a little switch up there. You don't bring that switch up to the top and lift that that gas tube off of there. And there'll be a piston inside that tube. Don't mess with the, if you don't know what you're doing, don't mess with the little lever on that's right under your sights. Leave it alone or you're going to poke your eye out. But if you take the other one and take the gas piston out of that and put the tube back on it, you will have a very effective, I'm not going to call it a single shot because it's just a very, very fast bolt action. It's not a single shot. As long as you got rounds in your magazine, it'll work as fast as you can reach up there by hand and operate your bolt handle. Now, of course, we put the bolt handle on the left side of our guns and, speeded that up just a little bit. Speeded or sped? You know. And it also makes that a tad more accurate because the bolt is not a real fast, you know, being a low-pressure gun, it doesn't work nearly as fast as some of the other semi-automatics. So you're removing some of that movement out of it. So I can still shoot it pretty quickly by just reaching up. It's a straight pull bolt action. You just reach up, yank it to the rear, and turn it loose, and you're ready for another one. So I've increased the accuracy a little bit by killing the semi-automatic capability, but it's still pretty quick. So it made it both an effective medium range, I hesitate to say a sniper rifle, but it could be. You know, as a sniper, sniping can be done with a slingshot out of the top of a pine tree. You know, everybody says, well, the sniper has to be able to hold an 8-inch group at 1,000 yards with this. No, you don't. It's just that some long-range snipers do. There's a great number of snipers that have been very effective with a 10-22 shooting out of the window of buildings down into the street 75 yards away. So, yes. You could certainly make a sniping gun out of your SKS in that regard. But the other thing it does is makes it a pretty effective 250-yard hunting gun, you know, out to for deer-sized game and smaller. Could you take something bigger with it? Yeah, absolutely. I've told you the story before about the guy in Tinsleep or in not in Tinsleep, in up on the Pitchfork Ranch right out of what in the world is that town? Poop. Anyway, it's on the Pitchfork Ranch. And he killed 9 elk one day with an SKS. He had had trouble over and over trying to get keep the elk out of his haystacks and stuff. He'd done everything he reasonably could. He tried the gas cannons. He tried scarecrows. He used dogs. He tried everything in the world. And whatever he tried, pretty soon he'd get used to it, or the elk would get used to it, and just keep on doing it. So pretty soon he just said, you know, I'm tired of it. And he went out with an SKS, and he killed 9 elk, all of them right there. One of them run off a little ways, a few hundred yards away from the haystack. The rest of them all died where they stood. Now, certainly part of that is due to his marksmanship. But nevertheless, the lowly 7.62 by 39 dropped most of them in their tracks. Does that make it an elk gun? No. It just means it's capable of killing elk. 22 is capable of killing elk. That doesn't mean it's an elk gun. The SKS is, or the 7.62 by 39 is approximately the same power level as a 30-30 with a comparable weight bullet. The 7.62 by 39 actually does a little better because it's a pointed bullet, and your 30-30s are, for the most part, most of them are round or flat nose, and they lose their, velocity much faster than the pointed SKS bullet. I had a guy on Facebook that chastised me a little bit. I don't think he knew that I was being facetious when I said the lowly AK-47. And he said lowly. I don't remember exactly how he worded it. I'm having a hard time keeping everything running here, so I'm not going to try to get in there. But he said lowly. He said it'll go through a 1-inch plate at 100 yards and ring the bell at 300 or something like that. Well, it may go through a 1-inch plate if you have the armor, the old armor piercing stuff that Norinco used to put out and everything. It will not go through a 1-inch plate in its standard full metal jacket configuration. I'm sitting here looking at a 1-inch plate right now that we've tried that on. I've got it. We carried it up here from Farmington and had it sitting on the counter. We shot it with a 50 cal and we shot it with a 416 Rigby and a 308 and a 30-06 and a 7.62 by 39 and a 40 Smith and Wesson. And so we've got a very, very wide range of calibers there that we've shot it with just to show what they would do. None of them went through it. Now, the 50 cal would have gone through it if it would have been secured, but when the 50 cal hit it, it just kind of picked it up and carried it away. So a lot of that energy was wasted and not able to penetrate, but it certainly would have if it had been secured, or if it was on that same plate would have been on an armored vehicle or something, then it would have gone right through there. I'm not sure what the tinker, I don't know what you're talking about. I must have forgot the quote marks. I'm not sure what. Oh, okay. I know what you. All right, I got you. I know what you're talking about, man. Anyway, there was Yakima Glock. Yeah, back when you pick them up all day, brand new for $100. Yeah, I got mine for $89.95. I wish I hadn't sold it now. I kept it for a long time. I bought it back in 94, right about the time just before the assault weapons ban went into effect, and I just sold it about 4 or 5 years ago. Sold it just before I went to Luna, I think. But a lot of things you can do with the SKS. It's if you take that gas piston out, you turn it into a true, honest-to-goodness sporting rifle. Now, what I did, I carried that thing around for quite a while, had it in the truck, and I always figured that if I ever got into a tight spot and needed that semi-automatic capability, if I had the time to get behind a rock and had, 45 seconds or so to get that back in there, then I would need to. I had a tube. It's the same tube, that the aluminum tube that a parachute flare comes in, a military parachute flare. And so I took that gas piston and wrapped it in a rag and put it in that aluminum tube. I could have used something a lot smaller, but that's what I had. So, I put that in my backpack. So if I needed to get it back working again, all I had to do was get in there and get that tube, yank it open, lift the little lever, pick up the tube off, gas tube off there, slide the piston in it, put the tube back on, and we're ready to go. I had already machined the bottom of the bolt. I say machined. I ground. I didn't machine. I ground the bottom of the bolt off so I could use detachable magazines effectively, and it became a pretty cotton picking nice little gun. And that Dragunov stock by Choate is a little heavier and a little more well built. You can get one just like it that appears to be just like it from what is it, Advantage? Starts with an A. I don't know why I can't think of it. Anyway, whatever it is, you get one just like it. But the Choate stock is, it's heavier. It's more rigid. It's more well built. It feels better in the hand. It is absolutely damn sure worth the money. And, if you want to doll up your, your ATI. Thank you. If you want to doll up your SKS, go with Choate. It's kind of like putting $150 scope on a 22. People say it's just a 22. Just a 22, excuse me? There is not any caliber in any country, in any type of firearm, that is any more inherently accurate than the lowly 22 long rifle. Your gun has to be mechanically AFU not to shoot well. All 22s shoot better than most shooters. Unless it's wore out, shot out, bent, screwed up, pitted, got some other type of problems, it will shoot. Promise you that. So why would you not put a decent scope on it? To put a $20 scope, I still have, right now, to this day, I still have a 22 that I got when I was 9 years old. It's a Montgomery Ward. It was made by Mossberg. It cost $19.97 or something like that back in when I was 9 years old, whenever in the hell that was, 1964, 65. And I've got a it's a Tasco scope, but at least it's not a piece of junk. That gun will still strike matches. I mean, it shoots, it'll shoot, you know, quarter-inch groups at 25 yards till you get tired of pulling the trigger. And the groups are not a hell of a lot more than that. It'll shoot an inch or under at 100 yards. It shoots exceedingly well. It's a $19 22 that is, you know what? It is 50 years old this year. Wow. Jeez, I wish I wouldn't have said that. Yeah, it's a 50-year-old 22. And I neglected it quite a bit when I was younger, but I want you to know that I would go up against all but the most expensive, finest target rifles in the world with that gun. It shoots exceedingly well. It doesn't shoot pretty good. It shoots exceedingly well. Doc, you're talking about my gun right there. You said the most accurate 22 you own is an ancient Western Field. Made by Mossberg. That's exactly what mine is. It's Montgomery Ward Western Field. It was a Mossberg. I don't remember the number on it, but it was less than $20 when I got mine. And mine's a little newer than yours. But I'll tell you what, it will shoot. Edge of the Woods got one. He got it. Gambles in New. In Las Vegas, New Mexico. Where did mine come from? Well, obviously it came from Montgomery Ward. I just said where it came from. That was when Montgomery Ward, you could still walk into a Montgomery Ward and and buy a gun right over the counter and walk out with it same day. That was a while back. But anyway. Okay, what else about the SKS? Stay away from the dust cover mounted scope mounts. There is one that is marginally useful. It's not too awful bad. It's actually, you have to buy the dust cover itself. It doesn't mount. It's got, I guess all of them you do as far as that goes. But this one has a couple of set screws that drop down there and it doesn't have to be drilled and tapped into the receiver. But it is, it's got little set screws that go up against the receiver on both sides to hold it in place. That is probably the second best one. And they're fairly solid. But the one that I had doesn't touch the dust cover at all. It's a completely separate mount and bolts into the side of the receiver, drilled and tapped into the receiver, and it's very, very solid. Works well. And, let's see. what else? If you look at your sights on there, for those of you that don't already know, the sights are graduated out to 1,000 meters. Does that mean the SKS is a 1,000-yard gun? Not by any remote stretch of the imagination. However, in volley fire, like the arrows in Braveheart, where you just sky turns black with arrows, when you get a company of conscripts out there firing and they see their enemy out there at 1,000 yards, and all of them rack that little slider up to 1,000 meters on their gun, and then they hold out there in about the right place. When you get 200 rifles all shooting, you're going to hit somebody once in a while. It's going to be luck. You're not ever going to do it on purpose. You may sit out there and shoot 18 boxes of shells at a man-sized target at 1,000 yards, and you might accidentally luck one in there in that length of time. But it's not anything you're going to do predictably on purpose. But the same sights as the AK-47. Now, if you want to sight this gun in, don't make sure you know where the slider is when you go to sight it in. If it's shooting low, don't raise the back sight. That's not made for sighting in. It's made for once it is sighted in, so you'll have an idea of about where that bullet's going to land at 1, 2, 3 out to 1,000 meters. So your front sight on the AK and the SKS is adjustable for both windage and elevation. The elevation sometimes you can get away with by doing it with a pair of needle nose pliers or something. You can kind of jerry rig a little makeshift tool to make that work. But your windage, in order to do it right, you can do it with a punch and a hammer. It's just pretty hard to control. It moves pretty hard, and they make a little C-clamp type tool that you put on there so that you can use the power, the leverage of a screw, and move that side over a little bit. So you put your rear slider on 100 meters, and then you use your front sight to get it zeroed. Once you do that, then you can use your slider to go to whatever. If you figure your target's out there at 300 yards, then you go ahead and run that up to 300. And, of course, it's in meters, but you run that up to 300, you should be pretty close. I say pretty close because it's not a precision tool. Now, on the back of the slider, on the rear sight, you'll notice that if you pull the slider all the way to the rear, and then there's a little step. You bring that up just a little bit onto that little step. That little step is the same as 300 meters. The reason that's that way is so you can pick up anybody's gun, assuming that they have got it somewhere as close to sighted in. You can pick up anybody's in the dark, not know where it's at, and just grab that slider and pull it back to that little, and put it on that little step, and just pull it all the way back and lift slightly, and it'll be on that little step, and it will be at the 300 meter mark. So there'll be no need to hold over, no need to make any guesswork. Out to 300 meters and less, you'll be able to just pull the trigger. You'll be right on. So that's why that little step is on there like that. It is exactly the same height as your 300 meter setting there. So there's a few things. Since I was not able to bring up any of my reference material, there's a few things to talk about just off the top of my head here for the SKS. It's a neat gun. I like them. I have absolutely nothing against the SKS. When I said lowly, I was certainly being facetious. anybody that knows me knows that I am a tremendous, never-ending fan of the 7.62 by 39 round, whatever it comes out of. My little bolt-action gun, the SKS AK-47, I don't care what you shoot it out of, it's a great round. I really, really like it. So there's a lot of stuff you can do with it. So we managed to get through this with no breaks because we didn't have any music, and we're not going to have anything. I'm going to play my outro here just because it'll show up on the recording. But other than that, we're done. We've got Amy will be in here again tomorrow at the same time, and I'll be following right after. She will not be here Wednesday. Be sure, and I was not able to play the advertisement for Beyer Barrels. If you want a good quality, absolutely fine shooting barrel for a 10/22 or an AR-15, then you need to contact Clint Beyer at BeyerBarrels.com. His barrels will be shooting at the Shoot the Deuce competition here in Sholo this year. And my son and I, we didn't practice at all last year, at all. And we went out there to shoot the deuce, and we just about cleaned them out. We did get beat in a couple of categories. My son won one of them, and I was right behind him. And so this year, I'm going to put Beyer Barrels on. Well, I've already got Beyer Barrels on both my 10/22s. And I'm going to go out there and do my best to smoke them this year. So all that being said, I'm out of here, and we will see you all tomorrow night. Thanks for joining me, and I'm sure enough sorry for all the problems we had here with the deal. I'm going to get this computer cleaned up, hopefully before tomorrow, and we won't have this problem. So good night, guys. Well, it don't even look like it's going to work for me, so maybe it won't even be on the recording either. Well, poop. Well, good night anyway. We're just going to call it a night and see if I can even shut off the cotton picking deal here. Well, I'll be darned. It started. How about that?